Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the outset of the Jesima season, the church has us here from St. Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians as he describes something of what it is like to be a faithful follower of Christ, truly what it is like to be him, St. Paul. Just a few chapters earlier, St. Paul encouraged people to imitate him, since he is in himself imitating Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 11. He says it again to the Philippians, and he says it elsewhere. Could you imagine the boldness that it would take to instruct a church of the followers of Christ to imitate you? Behave like I behave. Do the things that I do. Say the things that I say. Learn the things that I'm learning. Follow me, and you too will be a follower of Christ in turn. What does it look like to follow St. Paul as he is a follower of Christ? Well, when he writes to the Corinthians, St. Paul, who spent 18 months in Corinth, the longest he had spent in any of the cities where he planted churches, he knew that Corinth played host to one of the four Pan-Hellenic Games. These were held at Olympia, famously, the Olympics, Delphi, Nemea, and Isthmia, better known as Corinth, or right next to Corinth. And so the people of Corinth were familiar with the sight of athletes training and relentlessly buffeting their bodies, as St. Paul says, in preparation for those major competitions. They were familiar with the laurel wreath that was awarded to the victor of each of the games. They had frequently seen boxers and sprinters and long-distance runners and javelin and distance throwers and long jumpers, all of these. And just as Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a sower and seeds and soil and harvest, when he was speaking with people who knew agriculture, St. Paul said to the Corinthians, it's like being an athlete in these games that you see. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. St. Paul says that following Christ looks like training for the Olympics, where the end result, winning or not winning, is not exactly sure. You'll have to admit, this exhortation to striving in the spiritual life, these are strong words from the same man who would say, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, when he writes to the Ephesians. And so somehow both of these things are true. As he wrote to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. And that is what you call a paradox. Neither side of this paradox can we afford to let loose of. For there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. That is true. And yet there is meaningful work to do. As St. Paul says about himself, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The words of St. Paul appear to be difficult to understand. And some make the case that his words are even contradictory. The favorite kinds of thoughts of those who are looking for reasons not to read and understand and follow the scriptures would say things like this. Well, the reason that these two messages appear to be different is that they're different authors. It's not really St. Paul writing all of these, and that's the way we can excuse ourselves because the message is confused. And another might say that the one represents the early thoughts of St. Paul and the other represents the developed thought because he changed his mind as he was writing these epistles. very handy for someone who does not want to obey anything that they read. These kinds of ideas. It would seem that when we place ourselves in the position of editor of the scriptures, that we would get to pick and choose which sayings we like and which sayings we don't. But consider the possibility, the probability, the actuality that St. Paul does not see these ideas as paradoxical, or I should say contradictory, because he doesn't see a problem at all. St. Paul does not approach these truths as accounts needing to be reconciled, and he does not approach them as round peg, square hole. St. Paul is thinking of higher things, and his instructions come not from ground up, but in a sense from top down. St. Paul has in mind first the mystical union between Christ and the church, that for the Christian is in Christ, and Christ is in you. He begins with the notion, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is in me, and I am in him, and I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. As thou hast sent me into the world, Jesus would say in John 17, that high priestly prayer where he prays for his apostles and then for the church, speaking to the Father, he prays, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them which also shall believe on me through their word. That's the apostles and the whole church. And what's the prayer? That they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Talk about a gospel, a good news message. St. Paul strives like an athlete to conquer sin because his life is taken up into Christ's life, and Christ conquers sin. St. Paul runs as one who seeks to receive the prize because he's been incorporated into Christ, and Christ ran as one who sought to win the prize and did. St. Paul runs with certainty because he is in Christ, and Christ ran with certainty. St. Paul keeps his body under subjection, temperate in all things, because Christ kept his body under subjection and was temperate in all things. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, says St. Paul. And in a life such as this, as a Christian, where then is the room for sin? Where is the elbow room, the breathing space for me to rebel a little bit? Where is a space to get a little naughty once in a while? Well, why don't we also ask this question? When do I get to lose? When do I get a little taste of the failure? When do I get to have a little distance between me and the love of my life? When do I get to wander into nothingness and vanity and to death? When do I get to destroy myself? Might as well ask that question too. St. Paul says to us today at the outset of the season in which we prepare for Lent, not try to impress God, try to get his attention, try to please him, try to earn yourself some treasure. St. Paul is saying the life of the Christian is the life of Christ. Where your life does not look like his, it's going to take some effort. And what kind of effort might that take? Well, take a look at the athletes of the Panhellenic Games. See how seriously they take their training to buffet their bodies so that they look like the very best athletes that have come before them. See how they would do anything to bring themselves in line. They do this for a crown made of leaves, the very sign of glory that is bound to fade. But we do it for an incorruptible crown, so much better. If you've not been so blessed as to live at this time when you could meet Jesus Christ face to face, St. Paul says, then imitate me. And if that seems too hard, then listen to Jesus' words. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hires people throughout the day, and at the end of the day, regardless of how long they had worked, he pays them all the same amount, just what he promised them. That means you've got two options. First, answer the call to work in the Lord's fields at whatever he calls you to do it with joy, to the best of your ability, and have no thought for the reward. Do it because you love and trust the one who's called you. Be glad that there are others working alongside you, and know that there are. No matter how early or how late they began their own work, the reward is sure. The second option is to refuse to answer the call and to cross your arms until you fully understand the reward system, until you fully understand this pay structure. Jesus Christ, God Himself, is telling us that He does not owe us an answer about rewards that He will give. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good, supremely good? St. Paul answered the call and got to work in the fields of the Lord. Here at the outset of the pre-Lenten season, as we prepare for Lent, where we walk with Christ 40 days to his crucifixion, hear the call again to set your hand to the plow, because you are in Christ and he is in you. Hear the call to run so that you may obtain, because you are in Christ and he is in you. Hear the call not to work for your salvation, but to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, yes, knowing that it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.